Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Fallon with the sexiest man alive for 2019 announcement. Here it is.
Guys, we have exciting news here. People Magazine is about to come out with their annual Sexiest Man Alive issue. No one knows who it is yet. We're going to announce who the sexiest man is right now. He's in London via satellite. Questlove, can I get a drum roll, please? Ladies and gentlemen, this year's sexiest man alive is Idris Elba. Idris, how are you there, everybody?
And, you know, he's a classy guy. And I think the internet and the world's down with that. Elba spoke via satellite from London. Here's what he had to say.
Idris Elba, congratulations on being the sexiest man alive.
I'm really, really happy with that, man. Thank you so much, People Magazine, for making me sexiest man in the world.
Yeah.
I'm loving that. It's an honor. My mom is going to be very, very proud. So thank you to you guys.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah. I made that. That's his mama. I made him.
Right on. And he did. So the controversy, we talked about Pete Davidson yesterday, and then, of course, Ariana Grande dropping her brand new single, Thank You, Next, 30 minutes before the show started. But then it turned out the real controversy that developed yesterday was going on was the joke that he made about the GOP congressional candidate. What is his name? Dan Crenshaw. Do you want to jump down here to the joke? Because it's
this guy's kind of cool. Dan Crenshaw.
Come on, man.
Yo,
hold on.
You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry. I know he lost his eye in war or whatever. All right.
Well, that was a fail. That didn't work. And so yesterday there was a lot of chit chat about that. As a matter of fact, SNL's Kenan Thompson weighed in on the joke.
He's running for Congress down in Texas, and he lost an eye in Afghanistan, one of three tours. Joke cross the line?
It seems it. Yeah, it definitely seems it. I mean, my father's a veteran, you know, Vietnam, and I personally would never necessarily go there, but it's tough when you're fishing for jokes. Like, that's how stand-ups feel. Like, there's no real filters out there in the world when they're trying to go for a great joke or whatever. Yeah, he definitely missed the mark.
And Thompson doesn't believe that Davidson set out to offend anyone.
And I think Pete's a very, you know, humble dude, and he's got a big heart. I don't think he goes out to offend people,
right,
you know
right.
what I mean? But, you know, stand-ups are very, like, they're the ones that help us laugh through the most awful things in the first place. So they're always fishing in weird places.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That was an unfortunate outcome.
Yep.
And it was, but, you know, we move on.
You know, I'm backpedaling now.
I mean, come on. I mean, listen, I got to be the other side of that, right? Yeah. I mean, okay. When you're saying the guy was a war veteran, should you not make fun of his missing eye? Yes, we know that.
Right.
But was what Pete Davidson said funny? Absolutely. That was funny. It was funny what he said. And I understand we want to be politically correct and we want to be like, oh, no, that was totally terrible. Let's not do that.
And exactly.
It's
I mean,
a joke. Poke fun of yourself.
It's really hard to be a comedian nowadays. I mean, it's very, very difficult, especially when you do stand-up. You're putting yourself out there.
Yeah,
the thing that sucks is you have to know your audience. Like, you can sit around, like, with your boys and have that kind of conversation. You know nobody's going to think that you're trying to be a jerk and a hateful person. But when you're on that stage, you kind of have to have a little bit of a filter because there's a lot of people that are a lot more sensitive than that.
Listen, they've made way worse jokes on SNL.
Oh, my God, yes.
Way worse jokes.
Absolutely. And this goes back 40, we're pushing 50 years of this game. So, yeah, I mean, that's what they do. They do satire and they go at you. As a matter of fact, they went at Alec Baldwin, their own Donald Trump.
Their own guy.
Yes. their own guy on Saturday.
But see, that makes sense because you know what Alec Baldwin's going to do or how he's going to react.
But think about how many characters they've played on SNL, Nina. How many characters, how many times they've literally poked fun at some of the most popular people and whatever their deficiencies are, whether it's Ross Perot in his ears, whether it's, you know, just so many characters that they've done.
Sure.
And listen, if you're putting yourself in the political field, that's their main shtick. Is make fun of people that are in politics.
By the way, I will say this. The congressional candidate, Dan Crenshaw, weighed in. And, you know, he just thought the joke was bad, but he wasn't offended. He's like, you know, whatever.
Keep it pushing.
Yeah. Let's get me through Election Day. That's all I'm worried about. I'm not worried about what Pete Davidson's doing. On a downer note, the official coroner's report on Mac Miller is in. He died of an accidental overdose of fentanyl, cocaine, and alcohol. Once again, this fentanyl thing, man. It's just bad news.
Don't touch it.
Yeah. Miller died at his home on September 7th. He was only 26. The coroner's report says his assistant found him on his bed, kneeling with his face resting in his knees. Paramedics pronounced him dead at the scene. There was an empty body of a bottle of alcohol on the nightstand. Several pills were recovered from the home, including Xanax, oxycodone, hydrocodone, and generic Adderall. Police also found a rolled-up 20 bill with a white powdery residue on it in his pocket.
He had all of that in his system?
Yeah,
up, down,
yeah.
Up,
there was
down,
also
up, down.
A linear powdery residue on his iPad and all of this. But nonetheless, it all goes back to mixing drugs and you know, you got to be so careful with that fentanyl garbage. It's mm-hmm. just killing people all over
so
the place.
Sad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Prince, now Mac, and there's been so many.
Some of the younger
artists.
Some of the younger artists are coming out right now too, and they're like, you know, I do have an addiction problem, but after seeing Mac Miller and after seeing what almost happened to Demi Lovato, they're kind of getting scared straight. And unfortunately, I hate that it had to take those lives in the process. But if anybody is starting to pay attention and learn that okay, this could kill you,
and it did almost with Demi. You're right. And Little Xan came out last night and said, "Look, I've got a problem. I need to deal with this because it'll kill you."
Yeah,
it's really sad. Mm. Okay, moving to a lighter note here, let's go to Hugh Jackman responds to Ryan Reynolds trolling.
I saw it, the attack ad. I take it as a compliment. I think he spent about 3 years working on it. You know, and I just think, Ryan, thank you, man, for obviously I'm clearly in his head and in his heart that much, the dedication.
Right?
Yeah, but no, it made me laugh so hard. I can't tell you, when I saw that, the guys are... He's a genius.
What was he trolling him for?
Well, here's the audio from Ryan's funny new campaign commercial that jokingly discourages people from supporting Hugh Jackman for any acting award for his new movie, The Front Runner.
Hugh Jackman's upcoming performance in The Front Runner has fooled some people into thinking he deserves an award. But before voting begins, some people should consider these facts. Hugh Jackman isn't his real name. It's Hugh Michael Jackman. Hugh Michael speaks with a charming accent, but he's actually from Milwaukee. He then walked off the job on Wolverine, adding to unemployment.
It's Deadpool. Every time I hear his voice, it's like it's Deadpool.
Blake Lively has to have the
like
best
crazy,
life.
Right?
She just hangs out with Ryan Reynolds all day.
Like, it's Deadpool all day long.
That's fun.
Yeah. I wonder if he's snipey like, you know, his character Deadpool.
I think he's definitely got a sense of humor. That's
yeah,
what I
right?
mean. Blake Lively
I mean,
is having a great time. That's his wife.
All right. Amy Schumer. Well, this is very cute. She's Prego, and she posted on Insta a video of her first ultrasound.
Oh, my God. It's moving all around. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, it has so much energy. That's why I'm puking every day. Oh, my God.
Alien in the belly. They are like little aliens in the belly.
right on. Hey guys, by the way, check this out. Matthew McConaughey, did you know that he was in the running to be the co-star in Titanic?
What?
Yes. Would that have changed the movie?
Yes.
I think so too, right?
I think it's so crazy when you think back and you hear about all the different actors that went out for certain roles. Like, who was talking about how she was up for a movie in Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Gwen Stefani.
Right.
You're like, man, that's so nuts to think about. Like, it's cool you're up for the job, but it would have changed everything completely.
It would have sounded like, Rose, you crazy.
You just got to get all that gosh darn door.
It was the ship of dreams to everyone else.
Yeah. So anyway, he thought he got the role with Kate Winslet. Matter of fact, he thought he nailed the audition. And then all of a sudden he found out it was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, the reality is, I mean, there's so many actors going out for so few jobs. So you would assume that there'd be a ton of people that are disappointed, but they just don't talk about it as much because it'd probably be like devastating to their career. Like, you didn't get this job, or you didn't. Imagine if everyone walked around and said that about regular people. Oh, that job at Walgreens? No, they didn't get that one.
But if you remember, if back to the days of Titanic, even before that movie began production, we already knew it was going to be a Titanic of a movie.
Very true.
Yeah, well, with James Cameron producing it.
Well, and Kate Winslet knew. You know that story? It's one of the oldest stories in Hollywood where she talks about how she put herself or set herself out against everybody else by making herself the little rose note and put it outside of his hotel door. Remember that? Like, I'm your rose or something. She did the extra, so she stood out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she did. And that's a lesson in life. You want something? Work hard for it.
That's a forever movie. Forever. Here's something that's not forever, and quite frankly, I don't understand. Do we care about the Spice Girls?
I mean, they're fun.
But Victoria's never in. I mean, they're always talking about how they're getting back together. So it is official. 80% Spice Girls have announced they're reuniting for a tour next year. However, Victoria is out, but she wishes them well. Yesterday, she said, look, I'm not going to be joining the girls on stage again, but being in the Spice Girls was hugely important in my life, and I love them so much, and it was fun, and I'm glad they're going on back tour. I know it'll be an amazing show, but, you know, no word on why she's not doing it.
Well, she's busy.
Yes, and she's married to Beckham, so, I mean, you know.
She's got a fashion line. She's got, like, a whole fashion house that she's working with, so she's busy, but I'm not going to lie. I would go to that show.
Even without Victoria.
Posh was my favorite, but I would still go.
I mean, see, that's the part. That's the part, though. Everybody wants Posh. Right.
Well, Scary Spice is fun too.
Okay. All right. It's all good. I mean, I was just never down with any of it. So I'm neither here nor there.
I mean, I'm glad that they finally did it though, right? There's been so many rumors, so much conversation about them going on tour. You've had people going on talk shows to talk about it, you've had other people denying it. And I think a lot of fans, yourself included, Nina, would just care to see them together on stage, regardless of whether it's the five of them or not.
It's like the nostalgia. The Backstreet Boys are still going. I mean, there's nostalgia. Like, listen,
if NSYNC got on stage and Joey Fatone wasn't there, I wouldn't care.
Oh, right. No, I agree. I mean, their fans who want to see them will probably still go. I would think so.
You know, NSYNC's going to try to do a reunion. The only problem is they're not going to get Justin. Like, what are they going to do? Man, they can't without
500 seat venues only.
And Backstreet Boys they're always touring now with New Kids on the Block. So it's really funny. Have you seen any of that on television?
Like, and in person.
Oh, okay. That whole concert where they're together.
I think that was so genius. 98 Degrees went back on tour, all of that kind of stuff. But think back in your life. Is there a concert that you never saw that you wish you did?
Ooh, good question. Who would I say if there was one person that I wish I would have seen?
Oh, let's see.
That's not a long time ago, but I'd say probably Adele. I missed her a couple times when she came to Chicago.
Yes, that is definitely on my list. Yes.
And I'd take a hologram Adele. Or whatever.
Well, let's hope she's going to Adele again.
Yeah, let's hope.
She's amazing. I've seen her live, but I have never saw NSYNC in person.
Oh, I saw them in person.
My soul is crushed. I did.
Here at the B-Bash, they performed. So, sorry.
Yeah, dang. Yeah. Wasn't here yet.
Yeah, that's good. I could never see Elton John enough. I've seen him a few times.
He was just here. Did you go see him when he was in town last week?
No, I didn't, and I wanted to. I just, for some reason, I didn't. And you know who else I haven't seen is Celine Dion.
Okay.
I've never seen her.
She's
either.
Going back into residence in Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Gotta and make
I
want to
see. And I want to see Britney. I've never seen Britney.
Okay. Again, another Jingle Bash. She performed the Jingle Bash like a couple years ago. But you know what's funny is that when, you know, I live by the United Center, and I can always tell who's performing based on the cars that are outside of the stadium.
That's funny.
So the other day, I was like driving by the United Center. I was like, look at these stretched limos. Look at these like limo trucks. Look at these private cars. And I'm thinking to myself, who the hell is here? Because usually it's like regular parking. Mm-hmm. And it was like lines, literally lines. And then you're like, oh, Elton John. People with a lot of money are coming to see this concert.
Profiling.
So
that's probably why it was right, though.
That's funny.
Yeah, the tickets were too expensive. What was I going to say about that? Well, you know, the Jingle Bash is coming up, and we've got great artists. I can't wait to see Cardi B. I just think that's going to be, like, mind-boggling. And I know what I want to go. I wanted to go back to Britney for a second. Now, have you guys heard this, that her latest tour, she wants to be more hip-hop? How does Britney, I know that they get tired of the same stage act that they do, but how does she be more hip-hop?
Well, you know, you ever saw a Lauryn Hill concert?
Long time ago.
Yeah, so she does the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, but she doesn't perform it with the original music.
Right.
She recreates each song.
Yeah.
So maybe Britney's going to take, like, I'm a slave, and then put like a trap beat underneath it, and then maybe just make it a little more hip hop, you know?
Could you imagine her doing that to like, oops, I did it again?
That would be so
oops.
Funny. And then 2 Chainz comes in. 2 Chainz.
It's doing toxic. It again. All right. This is interesting. Pamela Anderson is a feminist, but says the third wave of feminism can go too far. She says stuff like the Me Too movement is now a bore and it paralyzes men. Instead, she says women should just use common sense. What do you think about that?
I think that the Me Too movement dances on a fine line of people that took advantage of the victims that came out and were very open about their situations that were they were actually victimized
sure.
from. And then there are some people that I think that took that to the extreme and took advantage and exaggerated almost
sure.
certain things.
But I'd say a very small percentage in terms of the grand scheme of the Me Too movement. So
yes.
I'm talking about people that are taking
yes.
advantage
yes,
of that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes. I would say that there's more people that actually had real experiences than didn't. And yeah. I think that we can't turn our heads at that.
Right. I love the Me Too movement. I mean, what I love about it the most is that, you know, I'm a firm believer in women's rights. I hate to see women disrespected in public settings. So for me, it's just about the fact that men and those scumbag men are now less likely to do those kinds of things that were invading the privacy and the space of women, whether it's grabbing their arm at a club, whether it's talking to them inappropriately. People are at least are just thinking about it more. And
right,
I think that's the biggest thing
of, yeah.
of the Me Too movement that was positive.
So she should almost change her words, though. It's not women that should use their common sense. I think it's more men that should be using common sense and knowing it's not okay to grab somebody's ass if they didn't
exactly.
say you could or if that's not your girl.
Well,
that's not how you deal with things.
And, I mean, you know. Her, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. But okay. she also may have a lower threshold for it. Like, she's fine with yeah. it. Like, it's okay. But if that's her, that's her.
Yeah.
Well, she was down under when she did this interview, and she says feminism can go too far. I'm a feminist, but I think that this is the third wave of feminism, and it's a bore. I think it paralyzes men. I think that this Me Too movement is just a little bit too much, and I'll probably get killed for saying that. She added, no man should ever be forced or, you know, force any woman to do anything, just like you guys said. So, you know.
I think she's also a woman that made her career on being a sex symbol. So for her,
yes.
she probably invited a lot of it. So she doesn't understand when, not that she invited to ever be
harassed. No, I totally understand what you're saying.
But you know what I mean. So it's a different perspective.
Yeah. And I think just like with anything else, with the Me Too movement, it's going to correct itself. Right. I mean, when you're talking about, I'm not trying to get so crazy, but whether you're talking about the interest rates, or you're talking about the stock market, like eventually things balance themselves out. So although we went on an extreme, or most people would say that there was an extreme level to the Me Too movement, I feel like you had to test that boundary. Like, how far can you go? What is unacceptable? And then you'll have that conversation so that then eventually it'll correct itself and people will be like, okay, this is not acceptable, but then, okay, we can live in this space and this is what's comfortable. This is what you shouldn't do. This is when a woman can speak up, you know, in all these instances and not be looked down upon when they open their mouth to talk about some kind of abuse that was taking place.
1,000%. Yeah. And one other thing I will say about it that I think that was a positive to come out of it. I don't think you've ever seen so many women come together, stand next to each other and just go, oh, you're a woman. I got your back, period. Bottom line. And thank God, because it's about time that we take care of each other
right.
the way that we have been now.
Well, because every woman has experienced it on some type of level.
Yes.
And so they can empathize with those that
yes.
have came out and actually talk about these horrendous, horrendous situations.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for the convo and thank you for joining us. We are here with the extended version of Weird Holly every weekday at B96.com and join us weekdays from 6 till 10 on 96.3, which is B96.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.